Hello and welcome to the Adult Gamer Community Podcast. I am Mellified and I'm joined in hosting duties by Fenrir76Find. Wow, Fenrir765. I have not messed up your numbers before, Fenrir, I'm sorry. And the man most esteemed in his own mind, Hoptimus. Our community guest tonight is Studknuckle, appearing for the first time and pants-free.
I'm always pants-free.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, I want everybody in the community to note that it is not Stud K. Nicky. How could you be so wrong, Hoptimus? It's not like that was my mistake, clearly.
That's what the picture said that he sent. Okay.
I had shot. What's up, guys? Dear. Thanks for having me.
I have a feeling this is going to be a great pants-free show for everybody.
So, all right. On that note, Fenrir, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, everybody. Just ready to get going. You know what the great thing is? This is episode 5. We have made it big time. 5 strong episodes.
Well, strong might be overstating things a little bit here.
5 adequate episodes.
There we go. Let's set the bar low.
What's up, everybody? This is Hop. Things are crazy in the gaming world. We got a new Battle Royale, which I'll get into later, which came out of nowhere, and that was kind of mind-blowing. Other than that, I like to drink beer, play Xbox Live, and hang out with cool people on podcasts. Let's roll.
All right. And Studknuckle, do you have anything to add besides that you're pants-free?
I'm always pants-free. Yeah, no, it's Studknuckle. I'm Tag's resident Nintendo apologist, so if you ever feel the need to just wail on somebody about Nintendo, you just come to me.
Just wait, we might have a surprise guest come on later just to have a conversation with you about Nintendo.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe Anthem might come in.
I was playing with Anthem just before we started recording, and he mentioned none of this. I see how it is. But no, thanks for having me on, guys. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us. It's always great to have folks that we get to game with join us on the podcast. So every episode, we pick a news story to discuss. Studknuckle, as our guest, you get to pick first. So what's your news story for this episode?
So this one, this is actually a little bit of old news, but it's also the news that's hurt me the most so far this year. Nintendo announced that they are delaying the release of Metroid Prime 4. Everybody was anticipating that it was going to be their tentpole release this year because they announced it 2 years ago and haven't said anything since.
But now, hang on. We saw a logo.
Well, no, but that was 2 years ago. And that's all we got. And so, and there hasn't been a word since, but everybody was like, well, it has to come out this year, right? And so they got out ahead of that and said, look, the game's been in development hell. We're not happy with it. So it's going to be a while before you actually see it. But the good news is that they've brought Retro Studios in to make it presumably from the ground up. So Retro is the studio who did the first 3 Metroid Prime games, and for some reason no one knows what they were working on all this time, because I think Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze was the last game they put out.
Wasn't some of the guys from Retro that worked on the hell was that, ReCore? Didn't a few guys from Retro work on ReCore on Xbox?
Oh yeah, maybe so. Maybe some old Retro folk. I'm not sure who's still at that studio that was there when they did the original Primes.
Dude, I'm just gonna stick my dick in the mashed potatoes here. Metroid Prime 1 was like one of the best games ever, and if I still had a GameCube and I would turn that on, I would play that game from start to finish. I loved Metroid Prime 1. Metroid Prime 2, a little difficult, made me want to smash my own nuts in. And then it was so much harder than the first one. It was still really pretty. I still beat it, but man, it was so tough. The third one I liked, but still didn't like as much. That first one just had this magic, the perfect amount of exploration, combat, puzzle, mystery to it, and there hasn't been many other games since. I mean, I was so enamored with that game, the music, everything. It was just first get to like the ice area. Oh man, it was amazing.
Hey, anyway, all right. What did you want to do with your genitalia on Metroid Prime 3?
Did he have any left by the time that came out?
Yeah, I think that might have been why Metroid Prime 3 was didn't really blow up my skirt, because I punched my nuts out so many times trying to beat Metroid Prime 2. I don't know of anybody. I think Stead's probably the only other one I know that went through. That game was hard.
It was tough. The first one they nailed, but it was just perfect and unexpected, right? Because no one ever thought that you could get Metroid right in 3D.
Right.
And they did it. And 2 was good, but super hard. And then 3 was good because it actually justified those Wiimotes, showed that you could do
first-person shooter. Yes and no. Like, it's one of those things, I liked that, but I think I probably would have liked playing it with the controls from Prime 1 better. Right.
So my hope is that since this has been delayed, they're actually going to put out Metroid Prime Trilogy on the Switch and have non-motion controls, and we'll be able to, you know, play through this and then
You didn't just say that. I'm going to pretend you didn't say that.
I feel fear for your genitalia, but the rumor is that the ports are ready to go and Nintendo's just holding on to them.
God damn it.
As probably if that when comes it gets out closer.
And it's 1080p and I can play it while I'm on the crapper, this could change things.
See, guys, look, I come on the show and Hop becomes a Nintendo fan again. My job
I've always
is done.
Been a...
Doesn't anybody wonder what's going to happen when he plays Metroid 2 while sitting on the toilet, though?
You know what? I probably won't. I honestly probably won't play that game again. I'll probably just play the first
one. Well, they could, to be fair, with Tropical Freeze, which was notoriously difficult on the Wii U, they very well could add an easy mode to Metroid Prime 2 like they did with the Tropical Freeze Switch
Funky
port.
Funky Kong.
Yeah.
They'll have the cool. The little Metroid baby follow you around and kill everything for you.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's my news. How about you, Fenrir?
Well, you know, it's been like 3 weeks since we last recorded, so I'm going to take back to something that happened fairly early after that, which was sad news for everybody. Yet again, EA cancels another Star Wars game. Sort of. Kind of. Not entirely sure what the outcome is, but it sounds like that EA had a project that was taken from when Amy Hennig left EA, moved over to another studio. They canceled that. Then it moved over to they didn't cancel it, but they've refocused it now to something new. So, bad news is we may get good news is we may still get a Star Wars game outside of Jedi Fallen Order from Respawn, but I don't know. I think EA's really screwed the pooch on this one.
Well, the thing that's baffling to me is knowing that EA must have paid about $1 billion for the Star Wars license. I mean, I don't know what the exact figure is, and it was to LucasArts, not Disney, because this kind of predates the Disney acquisition. But they must have paid a ton of money, and they've produced 2 games, the Battlefront and Battlefront 2. Is there anything else that we've seen out of this deal?
I mean, they don't get any of the Lego stuff, do they?
No, that's Traveler's.
No, I think that's separate. Okay. Yeah. I guess the BioWare MMORPG, which didn't do terribly well, would be in there. But
yeah, so from what I've heard, it's really tough working for Disney. And they're constantly hounding the developers for every little thing. And so I'm wondering if that's what's caused these games to kind of fizzle. I don't know if it's people leaving the dev team because they just can't take it anymore or what.
I mean,
well, and it was really a shame when Amy Hennig left, because she was talking about how excited she was to work on Star Wars.
Right. Yeah, that would have been awesome. And they were.
Well, and it fits with what you're describing, right? Where, you know, why would somebody who loves Star Wars leave? Potentially that could be it. Yeah.
But I mean, it goes back to the thing. You've spent a ton of money on this, and how have you not come out with something? I mean, hell, like a mobile game or something that could bridge the gap to keep people going, okay, at least they've done something. I mean, Battlefront well, where, 1 came out. It was great.
Where is Need for Speed Star Wars? Where is, you know, Battlefield? Oh, Star Wars. Well, we did that. Where's, you know, Plants vs. Star Wars? I mean, EA has all these franchises. They could easily put PopCap on and make a cutesy Star Wars game. They could do pod racing. They could do all these different kind of games. A management sim, you know, you're running the
Death Star.
The Death Star, you know, Tiny Death Star 2.0.
No, no,
I mean,
no,
there's
no,
so
no.
many things they could do.
You have to be the manager of a Tabana gas mine that's failing and it's going to be taken over by the Empire. That's the sim.
Or a water farm.
Moisture farm.
Moisture farm. Yeah, there it is. Moisture Sorry. Farm.
On a desert planet that supposedly you can grow mushrooms on. Bullshit. But, you know.
I'm baffled, right? What the hell is EA doing here?
It's an interesting thing. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens because they're almost over with their 10-year agreement. Or, you know, is Disney going to re-up with somebody for another 10 years? Or are they going to say, all right, give me your best Star Wars game from many developers, and then whoever does the best will go with them? I mean,
well, as part of the Fox acquisition, Disney got Fox Next, which is a full AAA game studio in LA. And they've been pretty aggressively recruiting. I know some friends who have talked to them.
Yeah, I can see where this is going.
So, I mean, Disney liking all of that control, I could very easily see them bringing this in-house.
Well, I mean, they had LucasArts, and they shuttered that whole thing down. So, I mean,
that predates Disney, though, to be fair.
Yeah, but they could have brought it back.
Just want
maybe
another,
they will.
Just want another TIE fighter game. Is that so hard?
X-Wing game. Yeah.
I mean, I'd be down for a straight up remake of Dark Forces. I mean, that was my jam.
Well, and the vehicle modes in Star Wars Battlefront are, you know, really good. Like they're fun to play. That's the only part of the game I really enjoy, frankly. So I think there's definitely glimmers of something there, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, hopefully Jedi Fallen Order just takes the cake and we're all pretty happy with it, because if it doesn't, EA is screwed on the Star Wars front, that's for sure.
I think either way, if what Mel says is true, unless they're willing to throw Disney a ton of money, I wouldn't doubt that after the license is done, Disney's going to just have their own studio that they control work on it, because there's less back and forth communication, management companies and whatnot. I think that, and that may be for the best, because honestly, Battlefront 1 was okay. Battlefront 2 looked like it was going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread, and that turned into a loot crate disaster, which we spoke about, I think, on episode 1. So anyway, what do you got for us, Mel?
Just recently during an Inside Xbox segment, Microsoft announced the new Halo Outpost Discovery event. It's a 5-city tour that'll be coming to Orlando, Philadelphia, Chicago, Houston, and Anaheim, California on various dates through July and August this year. It's a 3-day Halo fan experience, including going inside the iconic ring, a Covenant-themed escape room, Halo laser tag, VR and Pelican training, a Boomco, they're the company that makes Nerf-like guns themed with Halo. They have a target range, and then the Mega Construct sets. They're going to have a giant drop pod, apparently, like life-size drop pod made of Mega Blocks or Mega Constructs, whatever the
All right,
branding
guys.
Is there.
Road trip. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm already talking with Anthem here. Chicago.
This thing looks so cool. Yeah, I'm going to take my three sons to the Houston location. I already cleared it with the wife, ordered tickets and a hotel. So wow. I'm super stoked for this.
I really like Ghost Touch idea of getting Hop sent out to one of these things so you can teabag somebody.
if you guys fly, or if you guys buy, I'll fly. So that's where it's at.
So Hop, you know that the Star Wars Experience is opening at Disneyland this year, and Disneyland is in Anaheim. So it just seems like the stars are aligning, right? You do Halo and Star Wars, same trip.
You're killing me, Smalls. I wish I could. I can't commit to that right now. When is that?
I'm not sure if they have a date on that yet.
Oh, okay.
No one's going to be able to get near that park for 2 years anyway.
It'll probably going to be a madhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Halo event in Anaheim is the end of August, Hop, for future reference.
Oh, okay. That's a lot more doable, I think.
Yeah, but this is it's only 3 days in each location, so it's not a ton of time. It's a little disappointing they didn't manage to get more cities in the list, but I guess they've covered most of the big regions.
Yeah, if they had Phoenix, that'd have been cool. I could have met Tam up there, and we could have teabagged everybody.
This is cool. I hadn't heard of this event. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, tickets, they are $60 a day, or you can get a discount if you get all 3 days. There's also VIP passes available, which give you some extra perks and early entrance and late exit. So definitely something to check out. All the information is available at halooutpostdiscovery.com. So if you want to check that out for more information. Hop, what's your news story this episode?
So, and this kind of just creeped up over the weekend. There had been some stuff leaking, and we had been talking about on the Discord. There was rumors of a Titanfall Battle Royale game. So, I don't know about anybody else, but I got pretty excited. I was like, that would be the great. And actually, it was very almost Psychic Friends Network, not to sound creepy, but Fenn and I were literally talking about it the day before the rumors broke out, which was super creepy. Literally that night before, we were playing Blackout talking about, man, it'd be awesome if there's a Titanfall Battle Royale, right? So the next day, the rumors leaked that there is such a thing coming out. We're like, no way. What it has become, though, is not what some of us maybe have hoped, but still a really fun game. The game is called Apex Legends. It's done by Respawn. It is a free-to-play game. And if you kind of think Fortnite mixed with Overwatch, that's probably closer to what this is than Titanfall. It takes place in the Titanfall universe, but it's like an arena battle, and you have squads of three. It's class-based, free-to-play. Yeah, all the items are cosmetic other than two characters to unlock, but they give you six. And it's really fun. It runs really good. It's 60 players, squads of threes, so 20 squads. I played for about 2 hours last night with Anthem and Deadmeat and then Fenrir. And then I played a couple matches with Stud Knuckle today. I mean, I'm going to be honest. At first, I was very disappointed that there was no Titans. And then I was like, okay. I saw the map. I was like, well, that's cool. There's a lot of vertical space. We can wall run and boost jump, and that'll be fun. Well, there's none of that either. You have an enormously long slide mechanic, which kind of helps traverse the terrain. But it's still really fun. It runs really smooth. I do believe that the reason they've set it in the Titanfall universe, my theory, is so that they could reuse all the assets they were developing for Titanfall 2 and maybe 3 that is now kind of maybe in development for the next gen of consoles, is my guess. Titanfall 3, maybe.
Well, they're saying it's not in development at all, they say.
There was some stuff that came out on Twitter today that Vince Zampella said that it is in development, or it's not, that it's not in development, but he didn't confirm that it is in development. But I'm guessing they probably looked at the roadmap and said, hey, you know what, let's do this. Let's make a top-tier game and release it on the next-gen platform. And I really feel like this kind of came out of stuff they were originally going to do for 3 and then decided, well, let's do something different and something that might catch on. And props to them for it. It's different enough, I think, out of the current battle royales. I've played PUBG, I've played Fortnite, I play a lot of Blackout. This is a little bit different. It's definitely more arcade style. faster, but it's not as it doesn't have the building mechanic of Fortnite. And it's kind of in between visually between Fortnite and Blackout, as far as it's got a realistic look, but it's more brightly colored like Fortnite, but it's not cartoony like Fortnite. And it's pretty fun. It's got some cool stuff. There's some crazy gunfights. I feel like they are trying to keep the combat more close quarter based because of the shotgun and pistol. Like, you don't find a lot of snipers or long distance weapons in this game. And then the characters have their class powers, and I think that may be part of it. But it's a lot of fun. I'm digging it. It came out of nowhere. It's free, and it blows the doors off of some of these other battle royales. I'm not going to name any names, but I think everybody knows which one I'm talking about. Runs like garbage can.
You know what, Hop, with the slide mechanic, the way you described it, it almost plays like Bulletstorm.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That was a good comparison.
And it looks a lot like Bulletstorm, too. But so all you need is that lasso, that electric lasso, to pull people in close.
That whip.
And then kick them in the nuts, and it'd be perfect. But, you and I spent a few minutes playing it earlier, and then I played with Anthem and Havoc for this afternoon. And yeah, it's missing the special sauce. Like, I feel like all the games have something that make all the battle royale games have a little something that makes them special. And this, you said it's missing that traversal mechanic that you got from Titanfall, the wall running. I feel like if they could incorporate something like that in subsequent updates, I think this could be something really special. But as it is,
yeah,
it's a fun
I think
game.
Even if they met us halfway with like a wall, almost like a wall double jump mechanic, that would improve it a lot. Because there's a bunch of vertical spaces in the game. I'm like, how are you supposed to get? I mean, they compromised by putting those zip lines and the air balloon zip thing. But it still feels like those are kind of replacements for the fact that we don't have a grapple or a wall run. I don't know.
Right.
Well, my biggest thing with it so far is just the learning curve that is coming with it. Because, you know, all the characters have their own abilities and whatnot. And I'm like, I got to figure this out. I need practice. And I
don't know
if I can do that in a match.
Yeah, it's like Overwatch in that respect. And I could never really get into Overwatch. But what really is interesting to me is that it's the same guns from Titanfall, so we should all be familiar with them, but they don't feel familiar at all. And I think it's because you're grabbing these attachments on the go and you're having to kind of juggle all that and think about it. And it's so fast-paced and frenetic that it doesn't really lend itself to like decking your guns out the way you want. So it's kind of odd the way...
Yeah, it is much faster of a battle royale than definitely, like, you know, if we were to rate the speed, PUBG is definitely the slowest. PUBG has the longest fuse, and by the time you get to the end of the game, it's pretty crazy, and it takes a long time to get to that, and you have a lot of time to look for loot, add your parts, run around. Blackout's kind of in the middle, and then you have this game that's a much faster pace. Like, you literally have no time at all to find some. And I was surprised at how chintzy some of the, like I said, all I keep finding is shotguns and pistols. I hardly find any assault rifles. I think I found a sniper rifle once, but it's still learning the layout of the land a little bit.
And they give you 3 shells when you pick up a shotgun. That's it.
Yeah.
You know? And then you have to go scrounging for more ammo.
So one interesting detail that kind of ties this back to our other EA story about Star Wars, apparently part of the reason that the Star Wars game that was being worked on got canceled is because it was going to be a big AAA multi-year game. And that was kind of the same boat that Titanfall was in. And the directive from on high in EA was apparently to these developers, we need something that can be shipped in 18 months because they had a gap in their lineup. And so the allegation of the story is that we're hearing from some of these developers is that basically EA is certainly focusing on the short term. And that's why this game kind of came out of nowhere as Titanfall 3 assets essentially being used, but not Titanfall 3.
Don't worry, everybody. In about a week, they're going to launch the Battlefield 5 Battle Royale, and this game will be forgotten all about.
I don't know. Dear. It's gonna be interesting to see how that one falls. I have a feeling that one's gonna play a little bit more like PUBG or Blackout, but we'll see. This one is definitely. I think they're really aiming more at the Fortnite meets Overwatch kind of market.
Oh, yeah.
With this one.
But that's the unfortunate fate of Titanfall, I think, is Fenrir's point, right?
Yeah.
Is immediately after it gets released, then Battlefield comes out and everybody forgets about Fortnite.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Sorry. I was just thinking about Battle Royales altogether, but yeah, you're right. That's what happened with the original release.
But you have Anthem brings it down its neck, too, because that's 2 weeks away also, right?
Yeah, but that's more of a co-op game and not really... that's a multiplayer co-op game, whereas this is a multiplayer PvP game.
Sure. It's still an EA shooter, though, and supposedly the biggest game of the year. So
I guess my question...
It's interesting. This part of the year, we've got all these games kind of buttering a shoehorn together here. We got this just dropped, Crackdown 3, Anthem, and the Battlefield 5 Battle Royale, and then Division 2. This all comes out in the 6 weeks. Less than 6 weeks. Yep. Yeah.
So my question, though, for you, Hop, because I'm on the fence with this, is where do you think you're going to spend your time at? Apex Legends or Blackout?
Probably Blackout. I like Apex Legends, but I like Blackout a lot more myself.
I think it's a dollar and cents thing for me, and I'm probably going to spend more time with Blackout myself as well.
I like the speed. Blackout is this kind of speed. It's faster than PUBG, but not as fast as this. I'll play this with people. It's fun. It's neat. Yeah. I dig it. But, if you were online and I was playing Apex and you sent me an invite to Blackout, well, I'm going to go play Blackout. I mean, you're talking to somebody that plays Rainbow Six Siege, which is very slow and tactical game. So I like the more tactical stuff. The fast-paced arcade stuff is fun, but... I prefer the more tactical, and I feel like Blackout lends itself more to those situations where this game is more arcade, kind of run and gun.
Yeah.
Well, I think don't forget that Apex has one distinct advantage over both PUBG and Blackout, which is
Blackout.
The price.
It's free.
It's free.
Right, yeah, and that's what I mean. That's why I mean they're really going for the Fortnite market. What's Fortnite's the other free one out there? So I think they're really that's who their target audience is.
Players.
Yeah,
don't
but
forget Realm Royale just shipped as well, which is High Res Studios, the guys who do Paladins and Smite, their Battle Royale.
Oh my gosh, yeah, is that one, and that one is actually not a shooter, right? It's is it melee Battle Royale?
It's hero-based, isn't it?
It's hero-based. I believe it's still shooting mechanics, but I haven't looked at it super close.
Oh, okay. The one I would be like really kind of interested in is if, and this may be predicting the future, is maybe if they do a Gears Battle Royale set in the Pendulum Wars before the Locust. I think that would be really fun. I'm just throwing that out there, world, universe.
Make it happen. Nerd.
Well, so Hop, I think the one you're thinking of that's melee based is Darwin Project.
Yeah, I tried that like one. That one's like a
12 player, I think, Battle Royale. So it's a very different.
It's
scale.
Like a survivor. Yeah, it's kind of almost more like a survival game that happens to have 11 other players you got to kill.
Anyway, yeah, they definitely went a different direction.
What do we got next here?
We got free games. That's
free games.
Free games. Starting with Xbox Gold. We got games with gold. For Xbox One, February 1st through the 28th, we got Bloodstained, Curse of the Moon. And I'm just going to step back and watch Mel get really pissed with Hop right now.
No, I just was joking with Hop off air that he owes me $10 because I bought Bloodstained, Curse of the Moon after our favorite game of the year episode of the podcast, where Hop unreservedly absolutely recommended Bloodstained, Curse of the Moon as the best game of the year for 2018. So I went and bought it, and here it is February 1st as part of Games with Gold. So Hop, you owe me $10.
All right, we'll have to have a couple beers when I see you, okay? We'll take care of it.
Fair enough.
All right.
Fair enough.
after the on the 16th, they will also drop Super Bomberman R, and that will all be free. So it sounds like Bomberman R might be a game night.
Coming to Xbox game night for sure, because we did a lot of the 360 Bomberman for game night for a while when it was on sale. Everybody bought it, but now we've got a new crop of people that don't have it, so this will make a good fit for that.
It's a fun game.
And that's an 8-player game too, so it's great for bigger groups.
Yeah, that'll be good for tag for sure.
All right, and then on the 360, you get Assassin's Creed Rogue for the first half of February, and then the latter half, you will get Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy, which is a really fun game if you've never got a chance to play it.
Yeah, it's worth noting that the Assassin's Creed Rogue is not, there is a remastered version for Xbox One that is a paid game, but this is the older 360 title that they're giving away for free.
That so, no one played.
Ever, yeah.
Because it came out at the exact same time as Unity?
Flag.
Something like
was
that.
Was it Black Flag?
I thought
it was Unity.
It was the last gen release when Black Flag came out. So they did Black Flag for the new consoles, and then the Rogue was the gimme to the people who owned the old consoles.
I thought Black Flag came to both. The well, maybe, 360.
Yeah,
and,
I'm thinking it's Unity I think it's, that they released with.
Maybe I'm confused then.
Either way, it was a game that was tossed to the side.
It was a bad year for Assassin's Creed. Now, I think Rogue used a lot of the assets from Black Flag, which is...
Well, maybe that's what it was.
Is Rogue the one that took place in like the Louisiana Bayou?
Maybe. I didn't play it, neither did anyone else, because everybody was bagging on... They were bagging on Unity at the time, so...
That's true.
This one got buried.
Well, that rounds out our Xbox games. What's going on with PlayStation Plus games?
Let's see. PS Plus games for February. For PS4, there's For Honor and Hitman Season 1 and Gunhouse, which is a cross-buy, and Rogue Aces, which is a cross-buy. On the PS3, they're giving out Divekick, which is a cross-buy, and Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots. That was a pretty fun one. And for the Vita, there was Gunhouse, which you already mentioned, cross-buy, and Rogue Aces, and Divekick. That's what, you know, so you get them on your PS3 or PS4, and you can play them on your Vita. And that's our PlayStation Plus games for this February. What have we
got
over there?
Well, it's worth mentioning that this is the last month that PlayStation Plus will be doing PS3 and Vita.
And games. I was about to say, I said I think this is the end of the Vita. I didn't know it was the end of the PS3, but I was pretty sure it was the end of the Vita for PS Plus.
Yeah, sad day. The poor Vita.
I loved my Vita, but I haven't played it since the Switch came out. So.
There is that.
Speaking of, what's going on with Nintendo Online? I see something here that...
Because I'm on the program, we get to talk about Nintendo. So, if you happen to subscribe to Nintendo Online so that you can play Splatoon 2 or Smash Brothers, you also get Super Mario Brothers 2 this month, better known as Doki Doki Panic in Japan. And Kirby's Adventure is also being added. Both of those are coming up on February
13th. Dude, I don't understand people that hate on Super Mario 2. When that game came out, you know, when we were young, I played the shit out of it. I loved it.
Yeah, it's a great game.
I thought it's fun.
It's kind of the black sheep of the Mario family because it was just a repurposed. It was another game that, you know, got its sprites shifted and Mario crammed into it, but it plays great.
But visually, it looked great. It was so, I mean, because the Japanese Super Mario Brothers 2 was just a harder version of Super Mario Brothers 1. It didn't visually look very different at all. This the revamped Doki Doki Panic turned into Mario 2 looked great. I mean, it visually, in some aspects, I think this Mario sprite in Super Mario Brothers 2 looks better than the sprite in Super Mario Brothers 3, but that's just me.
No, I agree. And this is the first time you have Shy Guys, and you can play as Princess or Toad. It's an awesome game.
Yeah, that was all cool. I loved it.
Yeah.
I just still remember that first level as you're like coming down the...
Yeah.
The falling mechanic thing there.
I was just playing it with my kids on the NES Classic a couple weeks ago, and they were digging how you could pick up the vegetables and throw them at the guys. They thought that was hilarious.
Get the radish.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on, we have interesting game updates. Recently, Paladin Season 2 started, and we have a reworked ranking system, a major overhaul to the talents and loadouts, and a plethora of new champion balance. For Cities Skylines, they released their Season 2 pass, which initially brings the Green Cities DLC to Xbox, and they've promised some more of the PC DLC to be coming with that. Overwatch is celebrating the Chinese New Year with an event running until February 18th. They have pig-themed skins and cosmetic items are available, as well as some new game modes. So check that out if you're an Overwatch fan. And finally, Diablo 3 Season 16, Season of the Grandeur, kicking off with a quality of life patch. Blizzard's tried to go back and address some of the quality of life issues that people have complained about with Diablo 3.
Oh, that's sweet. They always seem to do, like, when they got rid of the potions, like, 10 patches ago, that was amazing. I was like, yes, do that. And then the auto not picking up the cheap loot, or the auto converting the cheap loot, that was great. So it seems like they really know how to improve that part of the game, which I'm happy about. And we should probably fire that up again in a bit when we're all burned out of all these other games.
Yeah. One of the things that was really interesting to me is that I guess the primal legendaries are now being highlighted a lot more prominently throughout the game. So, you know, when you see one of those awesome pieces of loot, you can grab it. And they've also done stuff to improve rifts, matchmaking, and the class sets have gotten a balance update. So quite a bit going on there.
I love Diablo 3.
Yeah, they've done a good job of keeping it a living game, because every time they tweak these class sets, it, you know, if you're going to play again, it's like, well, the same old build you did two seasons ago is not going to work. So you got to
right.
You got to rethink it.
All right, so moving on to our playlist, how about we start with our esteemed guest, Knuckle? What have you been playing lately?
Well, I've been playing a bunch of stuff, but most recently I've been playing Wargroove on the Switch. It's available on all platforms, I believe. But Wargroove is kind of like if you had if Fire Emblem and Advance Wars hooked up in the broom closet at a Nintendo Christmas party and had a love child that they were a little embarrassed of, so they sent it to live with an indie developer that raised it to have its own level editor and really good campaign and asynchronous multiplayer online. That's what you got. It's a great game. It's basically a Advance Wars, but in a kind of fantasy setting. So turn-based strategy game. I've been playing it a lot. I love it.
I know. I've also been playing it on Xbox. One of the interesting things is it does have full cross-play, and with the level editor, you can actually build an entire campaign with custom text throughout and all of that, and upload those, and those are cross-platform as well. So it's really exciting to see that coming this generation.
Yeah, great game. Really enjoying it, and looking forward to doing some online battles with you guys.
And that's only $20 too. It's a real bargain.
Yep, it's an indie game put out by Chucklefish. They're the same guys who published Stardew Valley, but not the same developers. But yeah, great game. Enjoying it. Mentioned earlier that I played a little bit of Apex Legends, just a little bit today because it just dropped yesterday. We'll see. I don't know what legs that'll have, but it's that's a fun game to play with Tag for sure. I've been working through all the Christmas presents that I gave my son he doesn't play because he only wants to play Fortnite. So Super Smash Brothers Ultimate is getting a lot of play in our house. I've got a neighbor down the street that shows up at the house with beer and a pro controller in his hand, and he's like, "Okay, let's go for it." So I've been doing a lot of that.
That is a quality neighbor right there.
Yeah. I'm very fortunate. Just finished up Starlink Battle for Atlas. That's if you play it on the Switch, it's basically a Star Fox game, but it is available for other platforms. That was fun. It's kind of like No Man's Sky, but with actual stuff to do. So I enjoyed that.
I described it as kind of this Ubisoft open world game, but like the E10 version of it in a sci-fi world.
Yeah, it's not as grindy as I thought it was going to be, but then again, I didn't 100% everything. I think if you try to like knock out every planet and do everything you can, it can be a bit much. I think when I finished it, there were still two planets I'd never even bothered going to.
Now, did you buy just the one starter toy, or did you pick up a couple of the other toys?
No, so Best Buy had a bunch of stuff 50% off right before Christmas, and so they made perfect stocking stuffers. So if you buy the Switch version, you get the R-Wing as a physical toy, and then they throw in the digital version of the ship that comes with the other platforms. And we bought an extra ship and some pilots and some guns. The only gun type I was missing was the stasis weapon that you have to buy another ship for that, and I didn't realize it at the time, so I didn't pick that up. But it's not necessary in order to complete the game. So, relatively small investment, cool Star Fox toy, and fun game. I think I put 15, maybe 20 hours into it, which isn't too bad. I've also been playing Hitman on Xbox One. I picked up Hitman 2 pretty cheap just before Christmas and ran through that. And you can actually import all of Hitman 1 into the new engine, or the Season 2 engine. And so I grabbed that. I think it's 10 or 20 bucks to get those old levels and put in. And so I've been working my way through that, which is great. This is the first time I've played Hitman, and I'm really enjoying that. I've never been one for stealth action games, but this is so much more, just because of all the crazy the crazy situations that you can get yourself into.
Yeah, the Paris fashion show is the level that I'm repeatedly stuck on, because there's just so many places to go and so many things to do.
Well, have you walked the runway, the catwalk, as Helmut Kruger?
Not yet, no.
Oh, dude. Yeah, that's, you have to do that. Yeah, just a really fun game. What makes it great is the scenarios they put you in are just silly as they can be, but they play it straight-faced, as if it's the most serious thing in the world. It's just good stuff. And the last thing on my list is I've been playing the final season of Telltale's The Walking Dead. I've only finished episode 1 so far. I think 3 episodes are out, and the 4th one comes out in March. But this being the last Telltale game and the last of the Walking Dead series, I wanted to play it. I wanted to see what happened to Clementine and how they wrap all that up. It's pretty fun. Over time, those games have gotten a bit tiresome, but I kind of wanted to see this through.
Has there been any word on the Starbreeze patent, or not Starbreeze, when they're going to start releasing those episodes?
Is that the other Walking Dead game?
That's the Starbreeze is the studio from Robert Kirkman, who's going to finish.
That's Skybound. The Starbreeze thing is, Starbreeze is doing Overkill, and I think that's been canceled or put on hold, because there's a lot of stuff going on at Starbreeze, a lot of drama over there.
Yeah, Skybound was what I was thinking of.
Yeah, so Skybound took over after, I believe it was the first 2 episodes of this season, so they're doing the back half, and they did just release the 3rd.
Okay.
And then the 4th will come out in March.
I mean, it's a shame situation of how that whole thing unfolded, but no, those Telltale games have such a great story to them. I remember season 1, just, I was in tears. I'm not going to lie. I cried. I cried at the end of season one.
They're still going. The Clementine story still pulls the heartstrings. So
it's good. What's interesting with Telltale, and I don't want to rehash all of their drama, but the discounts got so profound on those games. When I pre-ordered The Walking Dead final season on Xbox, I got the entire, every other Telltale Walking Dead game as a pre-order bonus.
Yeah.
Which is just like ridiculous.
Yeah, I never understood their business model, because I believe when the first one came out, I did pay $5 per episode. But as soon as they finished putting the episodes out, then they discounted it down to like 75% off. So all the subsequent seasons and everything else they did, I just waited until they finished, and then so you could play them all together, and you get them so cheap. So, but for this one, I went ahead. I had some credit on Xbox Live that's about to expire. I was like, oh, well, that's a good use of $20. So,
nice. Yeah.
Yep. So that's it for me.
All right.
What you been playing, Hop?
All kinds, mostly multiplayer. I've been working my way through those Castlevania. Lords of Darkness series, and I need a break from that because that shit's getting frustrating. So I kind of jumped back into ESO. A couple of friends were playing it, and I forgot how much fun that game is even by yourself. And I had never finished the Somerset DLC, so I did the entire Somerset questline. That was a lot of fun. If you haven't finished it, Mel, it's really cool.
I have not yet, yeah.
Still playing a lot of Blackout. I've been playing some Battlefield 5 with Sith and Anthem and the Lord of Cussing, B-Daddy himself. Still hitting up Rainbow Six Siege a couple nights a week with Jay, Maynard, a couple other guys from the tag regulars. I fired up MKX based on Melified's recommendation and it being on Game Pass, and Fenrir and I played that last Monday, and I had a lot of fun. I actually want to get back and play that some more.
So much fun.
It was hysterical. That was great. And then now we've got Apex Legends, which I played last night and this morning, and I'll probably tinker with it here and there. But like I said earlier, my go-to Battle Royale will probably still be Blackout for the time being. That's been my list this week, and I'd like to get in some more Onrush or something again, too. That was fun. What you been up to, Finn?
Just as usual, playing Blackout, just toying around with it.
I know
this
asshole always sends you invites late at night. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I got to keep it prominent in your playlist every single episode for the podcast. Before I really get into my place, I just want to suggest that anybody that plays Mortal Kombat X, I highly suggest you play with a friend, and one person plays as Johnny Cage and the other person plays as Cassie Cage. Just throwing that out there. That you will die laughing from it. But my playlist has been pretty expanded upon this episode. Last time I only had like 3 or 4 games, but still playing some Ghost Recon Wildlands. I've gotten a chance to play a lot with Ghost Touch and Obi, and those are some good dudes to play with. They will run around the Colombian countryside with you, and you'll have some tales to share after you're finished with your jaunt with them. Diablo 3, I get on there every once in a while just to kind of palate cleanse from everything, and it's just a classic game. Finally picked up Battlefield 5 on a great recommendation from Hop, and that game is fun. It's good. Good times. I like the squad-based mechanics that are involved with it. And then still doing some Strange Brigade. It's been a few weeks since I've gotten into it, but it's just a good game to play. So it's on Game Pass. Download it. Get a group of people together and just run through a couple missions with it. You won't regret it. But the biggest game I think I've really played around with was the Anthem beta last weekend, and the last 2 weekends, and yeah, it had some bugs, it had some issues with it, but man, is it rewarding to fly around like Iron Man. So I'm excited for this game when it actually drops. I hope they fix a lot of things. I hope it's not, kind of screwed up with the content, but I think it'll be a solid kind of shared world shooter looter kind of thing.
I also played. I did not do the open demo, but I did the VIP demo. And I was less impressed with Anthem, I guess. I didn't like how much time I had to spend out of my suit, the Javelin suit. I found it awkward, like the UI navigation was really strange to customize your suit. You have to get in it, but you're still in the town. It just felt disjointed to me. The flying seemed underused. I know a lot of people are like, oh, the vertical levels are so vertical, but all the monsters were on the ground, so I just ran around on the ground and shot at them. Maybe I'm just doing it wrong, but
yeah, I wasn't happy with the cooldown mechanic. I feel like if you're gonna hang your game on being Iron Man, you should be allowed to fly around the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's got to be some kind of realistic expectation, in a sense.
But the flight time was so short compared to what I was kind of expecting.
I think that's going to be one of those things that through items and things you find as you progress through the game, it'll change. And as you get to a higher level, you'll kind of have more options open to you. But that's just speculation, obviously. But, you know, I think that it has potential. And I'm kind of excited. Maybe it's just me being, holding on to hope that BioWare can pull something together that is not going to get shit on. I don't know.
Well, we'll see. I'm glad that they're doing something that appeals to, you know, Destiny players, and obviously takes a lot of inspiration from that. I'm just not totally sold on it personally.
Well, and I do like the fact that it's a PvE kind of world. Like right now, there's no multiplayer PvP kind of balance that they have to also figure out. So, and I think some of those quality of life things that you mentioned, like changing things in your suit and whatnot, I think those things will definitely come down the pipe and they'll make those changes because people will cry for it.
Yeah, it took Destiny a while to kind of find its footing. And so my takeaway from the Anthem beta is that it seems like there's a lot of potential there. It's just not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe over the course of the next year or whatever, they'll build upon everything and make it into something really, really special.
And
I'm not down on the game.
No.
I hope it's good, and I want to play it at some point. I just don't think I'm going to buy it day one.
Fair enough. I just think, you know, it's getting a lot of kind of flack right now, which it deserved it. I mean, they kind of had some crappy things go on these last 2 weekends, but you know, I think that the biggest thing is it still was a beta. It still was, I mean, they used the word demo, but it was clearly very much a beta. So we'll see how everything shakes out. But, you know, this all could change because after next weekend when the Division 2 beta drops, there may be a whole new type of conversation happening about betas and whether games are ready to come out again. So, anyways,
did you have anything else on your playlist?
Nope.
Yeah. Okay.
Your turn, Mel.
I have been playing through the Tales of Vesperia remastered or remake, whatever it is, on Xbox, and it is just the JRPG, the classic, you know, overhead run around the world. You unlock better and better ways to travel around the world as you play. There's all kinds of silly little side conversations, some wacky, fun, silly characters, some over-the-top, obnoxious bad guys. It just kind of hits all of those points for me. And I never actually finished the game back when it was originally released. And this is widely considered, you know, the best, or at least one of the best Tales games. So I'm really enjoying it. Just the JRPG silliness sometimes is a little much, but it does have a neat mechanic where you can actually do local co-op where other people control the characters and play with you. So I'm going to give that a shot with my kids here when I get home. I'm out on the road right now for a few weeks, which is why my playlist is a little shorter than usual. Obviously, we talked a little bit about the Anthem VIP demo. Been playing Ghost Recon Wildlands quite a bit. I dropped a fair bit of money on crates at some point. They had a currency sale a while back, and so I had spent a little bit of real money to get some of the crates. And so I'm fortunate in that I seem to have a lot of cool vehicles that other people don't. So that's been interesting to kind of mess around with some of the crazy tanks and things like that in the game. We talked a little bit about Wargroove before. I'm not super far into it, but definitely enjoying that. I think there's some things that are very poorly or not at all explained in the game, which is a little bit unfortunate. Studnok, I don't know if you've noticed this, but if you have a character cross over a friendly character, that makes them sort of a grayish color, and that actually affects certain elements of the game. You're on that turn.
I didn't notice that. There's some weird stuff where, like, some of the tiles were turned brown when it's showing you your movement, and that was never explained what that was about. But I went on Reddit, and they said that means that if you can move to that square, but you won't be able to attack or something. And maybe that's what you're talking about, because you crossed over someone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's some weirdness there, and then just being able to compare the units on you know how they'll attack and stuff like that. Some of the UI needs to be worked through a little bit better. I know that the developers have been hanging out on the subreddit and taking all this in, and have promised a patch very soon. The other thing I don't know if you know is that Fog of War doesn't apply to the CPU. So they can see through Fog of War and you can't. That's a bug, and they're going to fix that.
Oof, yeah, that's a big one. But it's, I mean, for $20, it is hard to argue with this as being, you know, one of the better games of the year so far for the value. I also played some Mortal Kombat X, though I didn't get a chance to play with Fen and Hop. I went through, and there's a couple guides. I posted them in our Discord server that walk you through how to get through kind of the bulk of the crypt and unlock all the areas in the crypt, and then you can go and select what you want to buy from the different vaults. And doing that, I have the goal of getting at least all the alternate costumes and all the fatalities, and so running through and doing that gave me about 80,000 gold, which got me maybe half of the items in the shop for Mortal Kombat X. So I'm not sure I have the stick-to-itiveness to actually get through the entire crypt, but the alternative seems to be paying $16 of real money to buy the crypt unlock from Xbox Live, and I'm not sure I care that much to do that. And then finally, I just kind of as a brain break, take a little time away from the hardcore stuff. I've been playing LEGO DC Supervillains. This is the latest of the LEGO games, very much the same formula. But the fun thing about this is you get to create your own supervillain, and you customize the look of your character, but then also your powers. You can even customize, you know, do you shoot lightning out of your left hand, your right hand, both hands, your chest, your forehead, your eyes? It's just every conceivable detail, the color. There's a palette of about 30 or so colors you can choose from your abilities. You get just all kinds of fun stuff to do. And then you're basically breaking out of prison with Lex Luthor at the beginning of the game. And some of the famous DC villains. And so it's a fun little romp. I haven't played super far into it, but I'm enjoying it so far.
How freeform is the actual gameplay? Like, I know, you know, creating your own character, there's a lot of degrees of freedom there, but the gameplay, is it more on par with the other LEGO games, or closer to LEGO City Undercover? I don't know if you ever played that.
Yeah, I did. That's actually my favorite Lego game, Lego City Undercover. I played it on the Wii U when it came out. But it is much more linear than Lego City Undercover or Batman 3,
Okay.
which are the two that are very open world, kind of hub based. At least so far, it's been pretty linear. I gather it does open up a little bit at some point, but so far, not that much, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, I'd heard some comments that made me think it was closer to Lego City Undercover, which is also my favorite Lego game. So I had hope for that. But the villain creation sounds awesome. It sounds like it's worth the price
Yeah.
of admission.
Oh, it is so much fun, and you just, being the bad guy you always wanted to be, and like there's finally a story validation for why you're destroying everything, because it never made sense to me that you're playing as Superman and you're suddenly, trashing the joint.
Unless you're
Now you can actually
Zack
feel good
Snyder.
about that. Yeah, well, fair enough, fair enough. Moving on, we've got our tag community updates. The book club has a new book for February. We're reading Skyward by Brandon Sanderson. It was chosen by Are You Dead? And I'm partway through this one. It's been a real pleasant surprise. I thought Sanderson only did fantasy, so I was dreading this a little bit because I'm not a huge fantasy fan. But this is actually a sci-fi coming-of-age story with kind of a military flair. Main character is a female as well, which gives you kind of an interesting perspective. So if that sounds at all interesting, or you just want to join a book club, you can check us out in the book club channel on Discord. Hey, Hop, what's going on Mondays, man?
Monday, Xbox game night. And some game nights are better than others. Last Monday, or what we did last night, was Apex Legends came out, so there was a bunch of rooms of people just playing Apex Legends. Lately, Rocket League's been hot. We had a good night with Onrush, Fen and I did, MKX. I'm hoping this Monday coming up we can put together something cool. If anybody's got any suggestions, come and post on the tag Discord in the Xbox Game Night channel. And especially if it's a game on Game Pass or a game that's been a game with gold, we probably have higher odds. Or a game that's super popular, like the Horizon games have always done really well on game night. But it's just a night where we get together on Xbox Live and try out a game or just play a game that the community hasn't played in a while. I've been trying to rally up some people to play Titanfall 2 again, which is on sale for $4.50. Grab it now.
Everyone should have that game.
Yeah, the
Yes. Yeah. No
best
excuse.
campaign on this generation for a shooter. Better than the Gears 4, better than the Halo 5. I didn't play any of the Battlefield
I
campaigns,
think
but
Doom might give it a run for its money,
you're right.
but yeah.
I would say Doom maybe in the story, action, and graphics department, but gameplay, Titanfall 2, I think
Yeah.
would beat Doom.
It's a
The
phenomenal
story in
campaign.
Titanfall 2.
It's pretty good too, but the
It hits you in
Doom
the
story
feels.
was, yeah, maybe, but the Doom story was just effed up and creepy.
Well, yeah, it's Doom.
All right,
I
but
will
that's
say
Monday
this. I
nights.
will say for $4.50, you can go buy yourself a large Starbucks coffee, or you can have, which will last you what, 20 minutes, or you
If
can
that.
have hours of enjoyment playing one of the best games in the last several years in Titanfall. I mean, it's just there's no comparison. You got to own this game.
Yes.
Yeah. For sure.
Well, that's Mondays, but on Thursdays on the Xbox community, we still have Halo Nights. So come join us there. Lately,
You
we've
guys still
been,
do that?
oh, all the time, stud. All the time. You gonna come join us?
Stud used to be
I
quite
was a
the Halo
fixture.
Knight fixture, and then something happened to him. He died a little inside and went away.
Well, I mean, we won't go into it, but I did move, and I moved to the burbs, and my commute got exponentially longer, and you guys like to play early, and yada yada. But I
So
do, in my heart, I will always love Halo Knight.
here's the thing. When Hybrid was on the show, he made a comeback the next week. So I'm thinking Thursday, fingers crossed. Boom.
We'll see.
Better reinstall MCC, son. Do it.
Yes.
Oh, it's installed. Actually, my son and I have been doing some co-op runs through that. He just finished his first run of Combat Evolved.
That's
So
awesome.
we need to start Halo 2 soon.
Well, Thursday nights is the night. Usually gets kicked off somewhere around 8:30 Eastern, and it kind of runs to about midnight Eastern. So come join us, and it'll be a good time. So get Halo MTC installed, and because I'm pretty sure that's what we'll be playing for the next few weeks.
All right. So one of our other hugely popular groups in the Tag Discord is the Gems of War channel. We have one of the top clans in the world on PS4, Gems of War. And the clan leader, Calvin, is going to give us an update on what they've got going on.
Hello, Tag. Here's the weekly summary for week ending February 3rd, 2019. We say goodbye this week to longtime Tag member, Anduran Jura, and we're welcoming their replacement, our newest member, Lupe Darksnout, this week. Our highlights this week include 15 legendary tasks. We did an astounding 77,000 plus seals this week that helped out many of our members get the latest mythic, TNE, with seal chests. And we gained over 162 combined levels. We earned over 10,000 trophies. We finished off with a great effort in the Tower of Doom event this week, getting all the rewards. And we had 782 total entries into the $40 Canadian weekly draw this week. And that draw was won by Beast. So congratulations, Beast. This week, we're working on getting back to 24th worldwide as we lost a rank to a very aggressive guild, Magic the Gathering. They overtook us last week. And we will be drawing for our regular weekly draw for $30 Canadian this week. So until next update, happy gaming, everyone.
All right. Thank you, Calvin. And in addition to all of these wonderful community updates, we also have a pretty vibrant and lively Discord. There's always something new going on. There's always new games coming out. And to kind of accommodate that, we've actually added two new channels on Discord for both Anthem and Apex Legends. You heard us talk about them a good chunk of the podcast tonight, and there's a lot of conversation going on within Tag about these games. So you should come check it out. We also have two new bots, thanks to Hybrid Havoc, who's one of our esteemed council members. The first is a profiler bot, and this allows you to add all of your game identities in one convenient place. Other people can query the bot and get your Xbox Live gamer tag, your PSN, your Switch gobbledygook ID that Nintendo insists on using, your Uplay identity, your EA Origin Battlefield identity, whatever it is, it's all in one spot. So check that out. You can go to the roles room on Discord and simply type P plus help, hit enter, and the bot will start talking to you and give you some instructions on how to get started. As well, we also have an affiliate bot. You know, every time we've done the podcast, you get to hear me drone on about supporting the Tag community using the Amazon affiliate links. I talk about it all the time because that's how Tag makes money and stays running, being able to do things like this podcast. Well, you know, here's the thing. The affiliate bot makes it even easier to use the Amazon affiliate links. When you paste an Amazon link, affiliate bot will reply with a preview of the item and the affiliate link right there. So whenever you see one of those posts from affiliate bot, be sure to click on the affiliate bot link. Your price at Amazon stays the same, but Tag gets a little kickback from that. So it's always a great thing to do for the community.
And this is very important to me because when I was on council, somehow I got suckered into paying all of Tag's bills, including this for this podcast. So I'm the one writing the checks and paying for this stuff, guys. So you guys need to use that affiliate link to help us out.
Yeah, well, and hey, that's one of the reasons why I think the podcast is a great thing for the Tag community, because we get to remind you in your ear hole every other week, go use the affiliate links, please. It helps Tag. All right, enough browbeating. Let's move on to our deep dive. So every episode we like to talk about something that's been going on that's kind of struck a chord with the group. This episode, we've heard that Microsoft is planning to bring Xbox Live to Switch and mobile. We also know that Epic is opening up the platform they built for Fortnite to any developer, not just Unreal Engine, but also Unity Engine, which is huge. If you know anything about game development, those are kind of the two big game engines that developers use to make their games. Epic owns Unreal, so that kind of makes sense, but it's a bit of a surprise they're going to do it for Unity. So all that said, you know, Studnuckle, what does this mean for gamers? What does this mean for consoles like the Switch and Xbox? And what is going to happen with multi-platform play?
Well, so this is interesting, but I think that we should take a second to just kind of temper expectations about what this actually is. Because people will read the headline and think, oh, Xbox games are coming to the Switch. No, that's not what's happening. What Microsoft has said is that they're open to letting developers use their Xbox Live SDKs in their games across platforms. And so if you've ever played Minecraft on Switch, you know that you have to actually log in with your Xbox Live ID in order for you
same
to get
with,
your
same with on iOS.
Right. Right. So this is, yeah, it's not just Switch they're talking about there. It's also iOS and Android. So what that allows you in Minecraft is that you can pull in your saved worlds and all that, and then use that on the Switch, which is awesome. So it's not that you're going to have the full Xbox Live backbone as a resident program on your Switch, but individual developers will be able to leverage some of those tools that Microsoft has developed in making their games, a bit easier to work cross-platform. So if you're on your Switch and someone on your Xbox Live list is playing, a game that uses this, you guys can group up and hopefully, do party chat and things like that. I think where this is important, if you think back to the 360 days, one of the things that made the Xbox 360 so awesome was that Xbox Live backbone. And what Microsoft did, they said, look, guys, you as game developers, you should develop games. You shouldn't have to worry about any of this multiplayer infrastructure or any of that. Let us take care of that. You go make games. And it was great. So developers didn't have to spend a lot of time building all those tools themselves. They could just make a great game and then use what Microsoft had built as the backbone. And now Microsoft is coming out and saying, hey, cross-platform gaming is a thing. Fortnite is big. Minecraft is big. Rocket League is big. This is something that's here to stay. Looking at you, Sony. And so why don't we make this easy for developers who are launching games cross-platform? And I think it's awesome. I think it's a super cool thing they're doing, and I hope that developers really take advantage of it.
Now, with the Minecraft, could I launch Minecraft on my Xbox One and play in your world while you're playing on your Switch? Is that possible with this current system, or is that something they're going to add later?
That I'm not 100%, but I believe so. I don't know.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Okay, because I think B Daddy was doing that, because I think his son plays on the Switch and he was on his Xbox, and I was like, that's pretty cool.
But I know when Minecraft launched on the Switch, you couldn't go to external servers, at least not right away. Added that. Yeah. I think they've patched that in now.
Yeah, that was the Microsoft did the Bedrock version of Minecraft, which was when they moved all of the modern versions, iOS, Android, Switch, Xbox, and Win 10, to the same code base so they can all play together.
Yeah.
So that's you can that literally play on Windows 10, I can play on Switch, and Fenn could be on his phone. I mean, it's pretty impressive. And you sign in from the game menu into Xbox Live, to be clear.
So it's nothing like anything that's different from like how you sign into Uplay or like
Epic
or, you know, the different game specific accounts that you have to join anyways when you get an EA game. Like you have to join Origins or EA's account thing. It's just it's now becoming more Xbox specific, allowing you the options to do probably more things and leading the way to things like cross play, cross saves, and whatnot.
Well, right, it'll be on a per game basis.
Yeah.
So it won't be like you fire up your Switch and you'll see your Xbox friends list there and you can immediately like ping someone and invite and stuff like that. It's not going to be a system wide thing. It'll be per game. That's my understanding.
That's certainly my understanding as well. It's up to the developer, but so they're going to allow
it Xbox to would, Xbox Live would not Xbox Live's like friend list or party chat system and stuff maybe embedded within the game itself, not necessarily the system like it is built around on the Xbox. It's just going to, when you boot up Call of Duty, all of a sudden you're going to be able to access your Xbox friends list from that game from the Switch versus the
from the system menu, essentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a foot in the door. I mean, that's what we want. That's what we're hoping to see one day. This ability to say, "Hey, you're my friend. I want to play that game with you. Doesn't matter what you are." You know,
it doesn't matter your system.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I come at this from a different direction. I care less about crossplay, although I think crossplay is awesome. I'm really, really wanting cross save or cross progression. One of the coolest things, I realize this is not a Fortnite crowd, but I play with my kids. And if I earn battle pass progress or ranks or buy a skin on Xbox, when I pick up the Switch version, all of that stuff is there for me.
Yep.
So I have one account that exists on all of the supported platforms for Fortnite, except for PS4, although I think that's fixed now. So what's so powerful about that is, imagine, Fenn, if you could take your Xbox and hold it in your hands and carry it with you when you go to the toilet. And then when you get back to your 4K HDR TV, pick up your Pro controller or your Xbox Elite controller and start playing in glorious 4K. That's the power of this, to me, is being able to, you know, relatively seamlessly have my progress available on whatever system I want to play on.
I mean, that's huge. I mean, developers would probably make a ton more money off of that anyways. I mean, you could go buy a game in three different systems and then play wherever you wanted.
So here's where it gets messy, though, is that and why Sony's pushed back on it is because, let's say that you buy something on the Xbox store, like, you know, a skin or a car in Rocket League, and then you go on and play it on PlayStation. Well, Sony didn't get a cut of that. If it had only been on PlayStation, then Sony would have gotten that money. But Microsoft got it, and now you're using a Microsoft asset on a Sony box, and Sony doesn't really like that. Nintendo's been kind of like, we don't really know what we're doing with online, so please help us, you know, and we don't care. Which is great. It's a great attitude for Nintendo, because they've been very open for Minecraft and Rocket League and Fortnite. But it does get a little bit messy when you're dealing with these economies, because the, you know, DLC is a big part of monetization for these companies. So
yeah, I mean, it all comes down to money. I mean, you'd have to be blind to think that it's not related to money at all. It just freaking sucks. I mean, it doesn't change that piece. So I don't know. I think that it's a matter of time. And to me, maybe they just need to go the route of some third party company coming out of somewhere to be the Movies Anywhere of the industry to make this happen.
Yeah, I think that's definitely good. Because honestly, I was very not into digital movie purchases because of so many. You had iTunes, Microsoft, UV, Vudu, all mm-hmm. these things. And then Movies Anywhere comes out, and almost all the studios sign up. There's a few Lionsgate. There's a couple that aren't in it, so that's kind of annoying. Like, you have to buy John Wick on your favorite platform because it's not a Movies Anywhere movie, just in case anybody was going to buy John Wick 1 and 2 because John Wick 3 is coming out, but that's another topic for another day. Anyway, that made me more open to digital movies going forward now that there's a unified front for that. And with gaming, I think that, in my opinion, the Xbox Live platform really does run really well. I'm open to anything else, but I mean, me having an Xbox and me playing mostly with Xbox people, I'm definitely going to be more interested in cross-platform where people can play and link up through Xbox Live. I think that's awesome.
Could you imagine Discord deciding, hey, we're going to be that third-party app? I mean, dear God.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
They would probably love to be. You know, Microsoft's put millions and millions into R&D for Xbox Live, and they've done a great job, and they've been doing it for a really long time. A lot of us forget that Sony was well behind the curve during PS3. It was a total crap show, and it wasn't until
that's one of the reasons why I got rid of mine.
Yeah, it wasn't until this generation that they actually called up, and you know, well, we all know what Matrick did to the Xbox One that caused them to be behind. But some kind of one backbone to rule them all would be nice.
Well, and I think to circle back to where we started, right? The interesting idea is Epic. If they are willing to license their cross-platform infrastructure they built for Fortnite to any big game developer, basically, or to 80%+ of the industry, you know, they could be that Movies Anywhere solution, potentially.
So is Epic and Microsoft now with their SDK thing that you guys keep mentioning, is this the new Blu-ray versus HD DVD, beta versus VHS? Is this going to be the next debate?
I think it's probably in some ways more akin to Netflix versus Amazon Prime Video. In the sense that where you have that app running determines which device you want to use. So in the case of games, it's like, oh, well, Paladins, I can play on my Switch and my Xbox, so I'm going to play Paladins because it's got cross-platform. But this other game, Overwatch, I can only play, my progression is locked to a specific system, so I'm not going to buy it on PC and Xbox because I then have two separate ranks and profiles and unlocks. And so people are going to choose based on how available content is. And I see that behavior with Hulu, Netflix, CBS All Access, Amazon Prime Video, where people aren't going to subscribe to all 4, 5, 6 of those services. They pick, you know, one or two that has the content that they really like.
Right. Oh, I think it's also important to add that there's a difference between Xbox Live and Xbox Live Gold. And so a lot of these base level features are included in they used to call it Silver. I don't know what they call it now.
It's still Silver.
But you can sign up for an Xbox Live account and not have to pay a monthly fee and still utilize some of this stuff.
And to be fair, I think it's significant to mention that the awesome game save sync that Xbox supports is available to everyone with an Xbox Live account, where on PlayStation, it's only one-way sync. It's from your device up to the cloud only, and it's only for PS Plus paid subscribers.
Right.
which is a big difference between the two platforms. But the reason I bring it up is it does open up the possibility that Microsoft could allow cross-save for games using their SDK, even if they're not on an Xbox or a Windows computer.
Yep.
Which is pretty exciting to me.
By the way, they just upped the cloud storage for PS Plus to, 100 gigs now? It was 10 before?
Yeah, finally. I mean, yeah. I ran out of that 10 gigs. Well, it used to be 1 gig, and they raised it to 10 a few years back. And I almost immediately had 10 gigs and was completely full, so.
Yep. Not to get off topic, but.
No, I mean.
Well, but it's related, right? It's all of these features that these platforms have. Opening them up to other devices just makes it better for game developers because they don't have to, like, imagine Fortnite. They had to write all of this code for voice chat, for parties, you know, game parties, for the inventory system and progress and all of that for Switch, PS4, Xbox, iOS, Android, Windows, and Mac. That's a huge amount of R&D to your earlier point, Stud, like Microsoft put in Xbox Live.
Right. Right. And, Epic has a lot of money. They can do that.
Yep.
But then I look at, going back to Wargroove and its online cross-platform play, Chucklefish probably doesn't have a lot of time and money to dedicate to that. They did it as a labor of love, and there's no voice chat or any of that, but you know what I'm saying. It's like these small developers, these indie developers, if they can use their dollars and their time to make great games and not have to worry about how the back end works, then everybody benefits.
Yes, we get better games. I mean, as a gamer, that's what I care about. I want better games. Hop, any last thoughts on our multi-platform dreams?
No, I mean, it's just finally nice to see this kind of cross. I mean, I was really excited to find out that I could play iOS Minecraft and Xbox Live Minecraft, and I saw it had Switch. I was like, that is cool. That, to me, that showed that there is progress on cross-platform, because, I mean, all it's going to do is benefit the gamers, and then everybody can play together, and I think the publishers will get more out of it instead of putting up little walls around everything. Give us some zip lines so we can scoot across and play with our friends. You can still have a little bit of a wall, but, you know, you can lock us into your ecosystem and stuff, but let us play with our friends, and I think that'll be great going forward with some of these games where, and especially now that the consoles are basically consoleized PCs. I mean, the Xbox One is running a Windows 10 operating system, basically. And the PlayStation itself is an x86 architecture machine now, and then PC itself. And so, I mean, and more platforms are using a universal code base for that reason, because they're developing cross-platform. Well, since they're already doing cross-platform, let's get a cross-platform network going, and then it just makes things easier.
Well, I would say,
sorry.
Yeah, plus the Switch. I was going to say, I feel like the benefit is it allows Xbox, PlayStation to compete on the strength of their first party exclusives and their ecosystem, right? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that the players aren't locked into playing only with the people in that ecosystem.
Right.
Which I think is giving
us a little zip line to hang out and play with the other guys.
Look, we know that online games live and die by the community. And when you segment them off like that, then they're just going to die that much faster.
Yeah, Titanfall 2 might have lived a little bit longer if we could have played with our PS4
That's
friends.
Right. you have to have a player base. So, yeah, opening that up cross-platform is, you know, just going to make that much healthier.
And that's the incentive for the developers to do this and figure this out, to be clear.
Right.
At least for single, or at least for multiplayer. I think for single player, it's a little more dubious what the value is. But if they would have cross save, I would buy a lot of games on Switch and Xbox, because I want to be able to flip back and forth between the two, depending on where I'm at and what I'm doing.
Right. Double dipping is a thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finn, how about you, man, before we call it a night?
I mean, you got the three biggest games of this generation, I guess. Minecraft, Rocket League, and the heavyweight of them all, Fortnite, just demanding crossplay, demanding these functionality, this cross-platform functionality come to fruition. It's a matter of time. I mean, it's coming. Sony's got to get out of the way of it and just let it just ease right into it, and you know, make it, you know, just let it lay there gently and let everybody make it happen. So
what are we talking about?
It's only skin.
I think he's talking about Stud Knuckles' lack of pants.
All right. Oh my goodness.
Just let it happen.
Just let it go.
On that note, Sony, just let it happen. I think we'll call it a night. We're about at time anyway. Fenrir, any last words?
Find me Fenrir767, or wow, I just screwed up my number. Thanks, Mel, for that. Fenrir765.
I think we're a little punchy or something.
Yeah, Fenrir765 Xbox Live or on the Discord. Hit me up, chat me up, let me know what's going on. And happy gaming to all you, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Pop, how about you?
You guys can find me on the Tag Discord, Hoptimus, although right now I'm running under Hop Solo because it was the name of a new Sierra Nevada beer. On Xbox Live, you can find me as Hoptimus Maximus with the number one instead of the I, and I'll generally be found playing either a co-op loot shooter that looks gorgeous like Ghost Recon Wildlands, and or a Battle Royale style game with some friends like Blackout or Apex Legends, and then of course Halo on Thursday nights.
Fantastic. And Stud, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you're not permanently scarred with the experience.
No, this has been
where
great.
Do people find you?
I am Stud Knuckle on every platform. That's STUDKNCKL. And you can find me on the Tag Discord. I'm usually hiding out in the Nintendo channel, trying to pick fights. And I just wanted to say thanks for having me on, guys. This has been great. And happy Chinese New Year.
Yes, happy Chinese New Year. Thanks, everybody. Yeah, thank you, everybody. This has been Melified and the rest of the crew for the Tag Community Podcast. Feel free to join us on Discord. You can check us out at theadultgamer.com. And remember, use those Amazon affiliate links. Dead Knuckle is going to go broke. He'll be out on the street. Unless you do, it's going to be all your fault.
Don't make me homeless.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.
See ya.